before me, and in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to It's a New Day. I'm Kim Kennedy, and we're so glad that you're with us on this Tuesday, March 1st. Yes, it's Tuesday, March 1st. Can you believe that? We were just talking about that in the break. Oh, how the time does fly. But we're so glad that you're with us. And we're going to switch gears in our second hour. And we're so glad to have in the studio this morning, Cassandra Lehman. Cassandra, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we're glad that you are here. And should I call you Cassie? Or
Cassie's fine.
Cassie.
Yep.
You remind me of a person who's very warm and welcoming, and Cassie would be appropriate. I've only known Cassie a very short time, but I knew immediately after spending a short time in her presence that she was a very kind and loving person, had a heart for people, has a heart for the Lord. And Cassie has a very interesting testimony that she's going to share with us. Just briefly, Cassie, you're a certified financial planner and a qualified kingdom advisor. She'll go into more detail about that. She is the president of Beacon Wealth Consultants, a financial planning firm that she owns with her husband, Rick Lehman. Their firm specializes in biblically responsible investing. She'll also define that. Cassie recently published a book entitled, I Found Jesus in the Stock Market, How Biblically Responsible Investing Can Change Your Heart Too. Well, that's all very interesting, Cassie. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening saying, say what? But first of all, can we jump in and say, can you start by explaining to us what is biblically responsible investing?
Sure. Well, most people are pretty familiar with socially responsible investing. So let's start there. People will think about the environment, for instance, and say, there are certain companies that I don't want to invest in because they're detrimental to the environment, and other companies that are supporting the environment. So in biblically responsible investing, we are really looking at biblical principles, and we're looking at investing as a way to glorify God. And that's not something that we typically think about. You know, when it comes to our money, we think about getting out of debt, and we think about tithing, we think about charitable giving, but we don't usually think about investing. So in terms of investing, there are really two ways that we think about biblically responsible investing. One is by doing what we call negative screens. So there are certain companies that we would not want to invest in, things like the abortion industry or what we would call abortion philanthropy. And by that, I mean companies that support Planned Parenthood, companies that support addictions, so tobacco, alcohol, gambling. There are just a certain number of companies that
no
we would
casinos,
say we don't.
Huh?
I'm sorry?
No casinos, huh?
No casinos. And that's really around the topic of addictions, right? So we don't want to really support companies that would cause our brother to stumble, and we can talk more about that later if you want to.
Yeah, definitely, Cassie, because as you're talking, somebody might be thinking, does that really matter to God? And you would say?
I would say, yes, it would matter to God. And so in that case, for instance, in addictions, we really don't want to be investing in companies that feed into the detriment of other people. I mean, there are funds that only invest in companies that feed on addictions.
Wow.
And just think about what that means as you're an owner of that company, and you're profiting from that. And we just really don't want to participate in that.
Mm. We appreciate that. Susan has read most of the book, I know. And
it's a wonderful book. Cassie, thank you for being here with us this morning.
Thank you.
I'm really glad to have you here. As you were saying that, I was looking at this quote by Ron Blue, who is the founder of Kingdom Advisors. Mm-hmm. And he says, every financial decision is a spiritual decision.
Yes. Yeah. And we really believe that. And if we really want to live out our faith, I think the kinds of companies that we support really play into that. And, you know, I talk in the book, when I was learning about biblically responsible investing, I was also teaching the stock market game. Mm-hmm. And this is an educational program for kids. And I always usually teach in middle school. And I have done that a couple of times. And you just teach kids about the basics of investing. And what I really do is kind of boil it down and say, you know, if companies are out there to make money. I mean, even if you're nonprofit, you have to make money to continue to do business. And, you know, if they want to, let's say, put out stock, right? So they want to do more of what they're already doing. And you're an owner of that company. I always say you're really praying with your dollars. Here, company, take my money, do more of what you're already doing, and we're going to share in the profits together. We're going to make a lot of money together. So when you think about it in those types of terms, you really do care about what kinds of companies you're supporting and you're helping to grow. And so many people, you know, have a heart for charities and certain, you know, blessings they want to be a part of in the world, and they don't even realize that their investments might be working exactly counter.
I found that a very significant point.
Yeah.
You might be giving to charity or doing all kinds of charitable work, but your investments might be working against you.
Yes. Yep.
And there's always that, Susan and Cassie, there's always that we can never forget the blessing of the Lord over it all. You can work as hard as you want, but if you're investing unwisely, is it too much to say that God's hand would be against what you're doing if you're investing in tobacco or casinos, mm-hmm, or things like that?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you always see that in the short term, and that's what I think, especially when it comes to investing. We're very focused on the short term, and we don't look necessarily
25 years
down
the road.
Yeah, the bigger picture. So we may not see it in the short term, but I agree with you completely.
Well, if someone has a Christian financial advisor, they are probably already investing in biblically sound companies. Do you agree with that statement?
Well, that's not necessarily true. And I found that to be, you know, I talk all the time because I'm passionate about biblically responsible investing. So I will meet strangers on the street and they say, what do you do? And I will talk about biblically responsible investing. And they'll say, oh, well, my financial advisor is a Christian, so I know that they would never invest in those kind of companies. And I don't usually push the subject because it's kind of a touchy subject, but the truth is that unless your financial advisor has had this conversation with you, they probably are not doing this. And there are a number of reasons for that. One, they might not even know that it exists, right? So this is something that not everyone even knows that biblically responsible investing exists. So that's part of what is so important to me, is helping other people to discover biblically responsible investing. But there is some screening software that you need to purchase. There are some steps that you need to take to implement this. And if they've not talked with you about it, they're probably not doing it. And I really encourage people to talk to their financial advisor, because you as the investor can be the educator for your financial advisor. You can tell them, this is an important thing to me. And, you know, they can really encourage their financial advisor to start to invest in this way.
It requires some research and digging and diligence to find out exactly what's being invested, where the money is going. And you talk about that in the book. Can you explain, mm-hmm, that a little bit more, why it's so difficult to because of the fingers in so many pies that larger companies have?
Yeah, so it's a little confusing nowadays to really understand what we're invested in. So, you know, if we go back in time and you were investing probably in a company that existed down the street, you knew the owner, you knew exactly what they were doing, they were in one business practice. But now we have these huge companies, let's say, you know, GE or some companies like that, that have so many business practices. So there may be companies that you agree with some of their business practices, mm-hmm, but not all of them. The other thing is, now that we have mutual funds and ETFs, there can be all kinds of companies in one mutual fund. And so we sort of have forgotten about the purpose of investing. And we say, oh, I'm invested in the market. And that's just very abstract, right? We're not really thinking about the companies. And so I personally could not have enough time in the day to look and research each of those companies, mm-hmm. but we employ screening services who do all of that for us. We subscribe to their research and we take all of their recommendations and say, okay, in our portfolios, we're going to remove all of the following businesses, you know, stocks because of their business practices.
Now, is it possible to do that? Say a, not necessarily GB, but some large company who is involved in many others. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to withdraw your financial support and investment in some of those things, but not all?
No. When it comes to a company, if they are involved in some business practices that we don't agree with, we would not invest in that company at all. Mm-hmm.
Cassie, what about the idea, and I guess we're running out of time here, we'll have to go over to the next segment, but what about Christian business investing in startup Christian businesses, younger Christian businesses? Mm-hmm. Do you recommend that?
Well, that you would have to do some due diligence on that, okay? So that's not something that we really do at my company. So that's more of like, I think of like venture capital, right? You would take your money and invest it in that. So you would have to do some significant due diligence, know the business plan, you know, so you would have to do a lot of individual work that might be a little more risky, okay? Not that you don't agree with the business that they're doing, but typically when you're investing, you know, we talk about diversification and you're invested in a lot of different companies, big companies, small companies, and that takes away your risk. Because if one company doesn't do well, then the others can offset it.
You don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
Cassie, we're up against a break. Folks, stay with us. We're talking with Cassie Lehman of Beacon Wealth Consultants. We'll be right back after this break.
Before me, and in my heart, I know that this good day, it is a
good morning, everyone, and welcome back to It's a New Day. I'm Kim Kennedy here with you on this Tuesday, March 1st. We're so glad that you could join us. We have a great day so far. And in this hour, we're joined with Cassandra Lehman Cassie. She's a certified financial planner and a qualified kingdom advisor. She's the president of Beacon Wealth Consultants, a financial planning firm that she owns with her husband, Rick Lehman. They specialize in biblically responsible investing, being wise with your money. And that's always a good thing. But in this day and age, Cassie, with the way things are, it's even more important.
Yes, absolutely.
And I can't help but think that you find that biblical principles apply no matter what the season, a dry season, a good season.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the great thing about biblical principles. They stand no matter what is happening and going around, you know, around in the world around us. They're tried and true principles.
And Susan, you brought up some very good points in the last segment that that it really does matter to God how we invest, the financial decisions that we make. And Cassie, the Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, purposes are established. So talking to someone like you and Rick would be a wise thing to do to get guidance on how to invest and make plans with your money.
Yes, I think it's always good to get some counsel. And, you know, we were talking in the break about how we're so distracted today. We tend to just hand things over maybe to our financial advisor and say, hey, you just take care of it. I don't want to know about it. And it is really important for us to understand what we're investing in and what we are, the kind of businesses that we're helping to grow with our money.
And I'm going to guess that you and Rick do diligence and check into companies and know the background. So if somebody says, hey, XYZ company is a good place to put our money, and if you know otherwise, you're going to say, hold on there, not so fast.
Yeah, and you know what always helps is just data. That helps people to understand. So we have a screening service that we use that we can either use individual companies or mutual funds or even a person's whole portfolio, and we can input all of their investments and it will come out and say this percentage is going toward the abortion industry, this percentage is going to alcohol, this to gambling, you know, and it'll break it all out. And so that's really when people, kind of the light bulb goes on. Mm-hmm. Typically, you would probably have about 40% of your money would be in those kinds of companies. And even if you're invested in like a S&P 500 fund, right? An index fund, you might even be in the 50 to 60% range.
It's an eye-opening moment.
It really is. And that's when people see those numbers and they say, okay, now I understand. Now I want to make a change. So it's that kind of hard data that helps people, I think, in making decisions.
Well, Cassie, you are the author of you recently wrote a book called I Found Jesus in the Stock Market, How Biblically Responsible Investing Can Change Your Heart Too. Can you share a little bit with our listeners about your testimony, where you came from, and how God brought you to where you are now?
Yes, absolutely. So I was really prompted in September. I was at a C12 group meeting, and I think you're probably familiar with C12 group. It's a group of Christian CEOs, and we were challenged. They said, why don't you talk about your testimony more? And it really prompted me because I thought, my life has been transformed, and why would I not want to share that with other people? So just to back up a little bit, you know, I grew up in the church. I loved the church growing up, but like so many people, when I went to college, that kind of fell away. And I got very caught up in, you know, something we're all challenged with, and that's kind of a balance in our lives. And I was really kind of working on finding my way to the top, working hard, lots of hours. And I really had an emptiness, and I didn't know how to fill it. And I tried to fill it with like more and more work or bad relationships sometimes. And when I met my husband, Rick, I had just started going back to church. I would not even say I was all in at that point, but Rick had been doing biblically responsible investing for almost 20 years. He's really one of the pioneers of biblically responsible investing. And when we started talking about getting married, I knew I was going to have to make a decision about my business. I had my own financial practice. He had his. It certainly made sense for us to merge together, but I thought, how in the world am I going to even bring up this topic of biblically responsible investing? So he kind of challenged me to go on what I now call my quest and to learn as much as I could about biblically responsible investing and to really make a decision for myself. And it was really this quest that brought me back to the Lord and back to my faith from my childhood. And what would happen, I would have these questions for Rick, and they were not really gentle, probing questions. They were very challenging and argumentative even. And he was very patient, and he kind of set me on a course. He was really my guide in this journey. And he would say, you know, read this book, take this course, become a qualified kingdom advisor. And it was through that process that I really started to learn what the Lord has to say about money. And it was transformational for me. It really was how I started reading the Bible. I mean, I grew up in the church, so I thought I knew the Bible. And what I realized was I know, you know, Genesis and Exodus and the Christmas story and the Easter story. That was really, I thought that was kind of everything. And it really, it transformed my heart in terms of understanding the things that are important to God. I feel like I was neutral on a lot of subjects before this. And once I really understood, you know, how these companies and how they make money and how we're profiting from them, it just, it really transformed me. And for me now, it just makes me so passionate about teaching other people about biblical investing. And hopefully they can have the same experience that I had.
That's wonderful. You talk in the book too about the concept of stewardship, not just being the money that we invest or how we use money, but all aspects of life, all the gifts that God gives us. Can you talk about that a little
Sure. bit? You know, when we think about stewardship, we think about tithing. And so we say, okay, I'm going to give 10% of my money because that's, you know, God's money. But really, the other 90% is God's money too. And if we're going to be good stewards in taking care of his money, you know, we want to think about what would God have us do with his money? That's really the question. And when we're thinking about these business practices, you know, I like to share sometimes with people and say, well, if Jesus was walking on the earth with us today and living the way that we do, and maybe he would be part of the Carpenters Union and investing in this 401k, what kind of companies would Jesus want to be supportive of? What kind of business practices? And so that really helps, I think, to think about, you know, stewardship in terms of it's all God's money. It's not just that 10%. And we have to really think about what we're doing with the whole pie, not just that one slice.
Well, I can't help but think, Cassie, that some people are listening in and admiring your testimony, how you got from where you were, how the Lord led in your life to a full knowledge of Him, of studying Him in the Word. But they could be thinking, that's pie in the sky in the real world that just does. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah, sure.
And what is your response to that?
Well, you know, there are a lot of components, I think, to that question. And so sometimes it's about people thinking, I'm just a small investor and I can't make any difference. Some people think, well, I have to make money and I'll never make money that way. So I tend to ask more questions to see exactly where the reluctance is. And, you know, I talk about in the book, as much as I was on board with all of this, once I did my research, I was very worried about the part, can I still make as much money? And I feel a little bad about that because that shouldn't, I didn't want that to be an issue, but it was an issue. So there's a study done by the BRI Institute. And if you go to their website, BRIinstitute.com, you can see this, where they do a back test and they look at companies in the S&P 500 that would pass screens or not pass these screens, and they compare them and they call them the saints and the sinners. And over time, they're pretty even.
If you can hold that thought, Cassie, sure. We'll talk about that some more when we come back from this break.
Great.
Because we're up against another one of those breaks, and we thank you for being with us.
You're the one who goes before me, and in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to It's a New Day. I'm Kim Kennedy in the studio with Susan Locke and Russell Orler. We are so glad that you're with us on this Tuesday, March 1st. We have another beautiful day on hand. Love this mild winter. I think I heard a report the other day that this is the third warmest winter on record. And I say, give us more of that. Thank
climate
you.
Climate change.
Not.
Maybe just weather change.
That happens. But we're so glad that we have Cassandra Lehman, Cassie Lehman. She's a certified financial planner and a qualified kingdom advisor. She's the president of Beacon Wealth Consultants, a financial planning firm that she owns with her husband, Rick Lehman. Their firm specializes in biblically responsible investing. And Cassie has published a book entitled, I Found Jesus in the Stock Market, How Biblically Responsible Investing Can Change Your Heart Too. Folks, this is not a dry read. This is a very woman who has bared her soul to a large degree and shared her testimony, her story, and which many of us, most of us, if we're honest, can relate to. And so it's a woman who had to transform. God changed her heart and then changed her business in the process.
Because it just opens your mind to think about things that you, I mean, it's sort of always on the back burner, you know, like I should think, but you don't really have time or, I don't know, impetus to think about it. Mm-hmm. And you've really focused a light on this and caused us to think about it. And it's important. It really is. Yeah. And I wanted you to share with the listeners this story that you have in the book about the couple who decided to do reverse tithing and really challenge the Lord and what happened with them.
Sure. So some of you might be familiar with R.G. Letourneau, and he was a Christian businessman and entrepreneur, and he was involved in earth-moving machinery and road construction equipment early in the 1900s. And early on, he found himself in debt, and he had just made this decision that God was his business partner, and he was going to let God solve all of his problems. And I think that's a great plan, and I wish that I would follow it more often myself. So I think that's a great plan to have. And he was always faithful, and over time, not only did he pay off those debts, but he went on to become a multimillionaire. And in 1935, he recognized the success of his company, and he got together with his wife, Evelyn, and they decided they were going to change their financial split with God. So we think of the 10% tithe, and they really became famous for a reverse tithe, and they would live on 10% of their income and give 90% for the spread of the gospel. So by 1959, after giving $10 million in donations to religious and educational works, the foundation was still worth $40 million. So that is just amazing how God can really bless us when we put our faith in him.
You can't outgive God. That's for certain.
True. That is true.
That's such a testimony to their faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
And God's faithfulness.
And inspiration. Mm-hmm. Absolute inspiration.
It just goes to prove, Susan and Cassie, you can't outgive God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And that's a step of faith. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge for us all.
It is. It is.
I know, Susan, that there are some other interesting points in the book. She's been talking about it all week. She said, I'm really, really enjoying this. And were there any other things that jumped out at you that you thought our listeners would?
I like the example of Chick-fil-A and how just with sticking to their principles, they have prospered and they continue to prosper.
Yes.
and not be intimidated by, I think, especially in today's climate, that's very important.
Yep. And someone like a Hobby Lobby, they mm-hmm. would, you know, also be demonstrating those principles and say, I'm going to live, you know, by God's principles. I'm going to take the Sabbath. I'm going to close on Sundays. And then their businesses have prospered.
Could you talk about that a little bit, the Sabbath, the rest, and the blessing that comes from that?
Sure. Well, both of those companies, both Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby, have decided to be closed on Sundays. And, you know, we think, well, you have to be open on Sundays because that's really, you know, 1/7 of your profit, your revenue generation. But both of those companies have decided to follow the principle of the Sabbath, to rest, time to certainly glorify God. And in turn, God has blessed those companies, and they're extremely successful, not just making it, not just getting by, but very, very successful in their businesses.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, and Susan and Cassie, we don't have to look too far to see that in place when you look to Lancaster County. I'm fascinated by their business model because you go out there, even, you know, it's been some economic tough times over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. They're doing well. But they follow that principle you just laid out. Mm-hmm. Many of them, not all, but many of them will be closed on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen, they're prospering. They continue to prosper.
Yeah.
It defies our human reasoning. God's ways are not our ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes a lot of faith. And in that regard, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who think and say to you, well, is it possible to make money investing this way? And how do you answer them?
Yes. So I was just touching on that before our last break a little bit. So I'm a fact person. That's why I would say that I was struggling with my faith for a long time. I want proof. I want, you know, and sometimes you don't have all of the proof. But so I love data and math and facts. Mm-hmm. And the BRI Institute does this back test every year where they take the S&P 500, and all the companies that are in there, they sort them into the companies that would pass screens, are the screens that we're talking about today, and those that would not, and they call them the saints and the sinners, which is, just makes me laugh every time they say that. But they have tracked those over time, and when you look at this graph, you can see that sometimes the saints are a little ahead, sometimes the sinners are a little ahead, mm-hmm. but all in all, it's just about the same. And any kind of testing that's been done has shown that it does not significantly impact your portfolio to remove the kind of companies that we're talking about. So for me, I would rather be investing in companies that are seeking to be a blessing in the world. I want to share in the profits of those companies. I want to help them grow and cut off the funds, quite frankly, to these other companies that go against God's principles. So that, I think, is a big question that people have, and it gives them peace to know that they're not going to, you know, be significantly underperforming when they invest this way.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. It just gives you a little extra confidence, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, What advice would you give someone who doesn't really know about investing or where to start when it comes to knowing what kind of companies they are investing in?
Well, the first thing you would need to do is to have your portfolio screened. And so you can ask your financial advisor about that. And if they don't provide that, then certainly you could send an email to our company at info@beaconwealth.com. And we'd be happy to do that actually for free, just so you can have a better understanding of what you own. And in that report, it breaks out all the different investments that you have, the kind of business practices you're invested in. And that is really the starting off point. I say know what you own, because then you can start to really make some decisions about how to move ahead. And so I'll just share one thing that people typically ask us about is, why do we screen out alcohol, tobacco, and gambling? Because it doesn't necessarily say in the Bible, thou shalt not drink wine or thou shalt not smoke, right? And so that's a question that people have. And it's so interesting if you take a look at how these companies make money. So let's say the tobacco industry in the US, our laws have gotten stricter and stricter for underage smoking. So that really cuts into the profits of the tobacco companies. So what they've done is gone to third world countries, targeted women and children, and trying to get them addicted to smoking as early as possible. Mm. You may remember on the internet, there were pictures of a 2-year-old boy, Aldi Rizal, who was addicted to smoking.
Wow.
And this is shocking to us, right? But it is not unusual. Indonesia is kind of the place where the focus is right now, but they will go to concerts and sporting events, hand out cigarettes to children. And kids started getting addicted to smoking when they're maybe 7 or 8 years old. In Papua New Guinea, about 50% of boys and girls between the ages of 13 and 15 are addicted to smoking. And so that is how they make their money, when you become addicted and you become a lifelong customer for them. And so when you think about, okay, if I'm investing in these companies, then I am
indirectly supporting those habits.
Right. Like, please go get these kids addicted to cigarettes so that I can make money from it. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start to kind of get this stomach ache about it and say, holy
And once
Moses.
You know, then it's, what are you going to do with this now? Are you going to just keep on pretending you don't know, or are you going to do something?
Yeah, because it's always, I think you said before, it's kind of in the back of your mind and you start to think about it and it's troubling. Mm-hmm. It's very troubling.
When we come back after this last break, I would love for you to talk about the process, the struggle that you went through personally when you were making that change from the way you'd been doing business to the new way, as you became aware of this internal struggle within, because that's something that's common to people, I think, the fear that comes of the unknown and the risk.
Yes, absolutely.
So perhaps we can touch on that when we come back. We're talking with Cassandra Lehman, who has written a book called I Found Jesus in the Stock Market. And we thank you for listening to It's a New Day this week.
You're the one who goes before me, and in my heart I know that this good day.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to It's a New Day on this Tuesday, March 1st. We are so glad you're with us. We're having a great day, interesting conversations as always, and we're so glad Cassie Lehman has joined us this morning, just learning so much, giving us a lot to think about and consider. Cassie's a certified financial planner and a qualified kingdom advisor. She's the president of Beacon Wealth Consultants, a financial planning firm that she owns with her husband, Rick Lehman. Their firm specializes in biblically responsible investing. Cassie's recently published a book entitled I Found Jesus in the Stock Market, How Biblically Responsible Investing Can Change Your Heart Too. And as I said, Cassie, during the break, just really a lot for us to consider. And once we are informed, we're responsible for that knowledge, are we not?
That's right. That's the hardest part, the action. It's one thing to know and to believe it's the right thing, but actually making some changes, that's the hard part.
You note that in Ephesians 5:11, it says, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, instead expose them. Mm-hmm. And just before we came to break, you were talking about cigarettes in Indonesia and New Guinea and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then over break, we were talking about alcohol. Could you and Kim continue that?
Sure. So this is another industry where people might say, well, it's okay to invest in alcohol companies because the people who drink, that's their own choice. And, you know, they have to live with their decisions. But when you, again, look at the statistics, so in America, about 30% of people don't drink at all. About 30% of people might have one drink a week. But it's really the top 10% of drinkers, maybe 24 million people, that's a lot of people, that the alcohol companies make money from. And so 50% of the revenues from the alcohol industry come from the top 10% of drinkers. And those are people who drink approximately 74 drinks a week. So that's more than 10 drinks per day. And if those drinkers went from 10 drinks a day just to 2 drinks a day, it would have a huge impact on the alcohol industry. So, you know, again, going back to Romans 14:21, when it says, don't do anything that's going to cause your brother to stumble, that's why we decide not to invest in alcohol companies, because they really are preying on the addictions of our brothers and sisters.
How true. How very, very true. We have and the abortion industry preys on the troubles of others instead of helping them in a positive way.
Yep.
You have organizations like Planned Parenthood who provide a quick solution, which causes years and years of heartache. I've worked in the pro-life ministry for many years, and mm-hmm. I've talked to the women who are the victims of yep. organizations like that, as I'm sure you are familiar with mm-hmm. too, Cassie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking and it's like, well, we've heard the negatives, and what are the positive alternatives? And can you tell us, are your customers successful as a result of biblical responsible investing?
You know, I think there are two parts of it, right? So we are certified financial planners. We do all of the kind of planning that your typical financial advisors would do. But we have this extra aspect where, you know, we coach really our clients around getting out of debt, about giving, about tithing, and about investing in this way. So certainly they are successful in the terms that you think of other people being successful as investors and, you know, meeting their goals. But the other piece of this is the part about really having a clean conscience. So I always say that there are many things that I need to work on. You know, if you want to be more like Jesus, I have a long list of things that I want to that I need yeah. to work on. I don't make any claims otherwise. But when it comes to investing, that is just one thing that I don't even think about. I have a very clear conscience about it. I know what companies I'm invested in, what I'm profiting from. And I think if you would talk to our clients, that's what they would say too. They would say, I feel really good about the investing that I'm doing. I feel confident. I know that I'm trying to honor God with my investments. And there is really nothing like feeling like you're square with God when it comes to money. I mean, it's such a big part of our lives. And I think that is probably the biggest difference.
So you obviously have great peace and joy about that now.
Yeah.
But how was it for you when you were making this transition?
It was so difficult for me. You know, I talked a little bit about, you know, my journey and learning about biblical investing. And even now when I go back and talk about it, it sounds like, oh, and I found out that it was the right thing to do. And that's what I did. And that everything's great. But I was really consumed with fear in this process. There were many tears shed, and I just kept thinking, I'm going to lose all my clients, and I'll never get another client in my life because people are not going to be on board with this. And I will say, when I started this journey, I had no idea about the makeup of my book of business in terms of faith, because I was always taught you don't talk about religion and you don't talk about politics. So I had, I think, two clients that I would say, oh yeah, they're Christians. But I thought, I'm now going to have this conversation with all of my clients. They're going to think I'm a kook and they've gone off the deep end and they're going to say no way. And so I just felt like I had some I had to walk in faith. I felt like God was really telling me that this was the right thing to do. And so I did take that leap of faith. And when I made that transition, I lost two clients. That was it. In my whole book of business. And I don't have all Christian clients, but I think people respect my position. I say, this is something that's important to us. And I even have clients who say, well, that's not important to me if we screen these things out. And I say, that's okay, but it's important to us. And if you want to invest with us, this is the only way that we do it. Because if I've decided that I'm not going to support the abortion industry or some of these other things that we've talked about, how can I help other people to do it? Because again, I'm working against myself. So mm-hmm. our clients are all very familiar with the way that we invest, whether it's important to them or not. I think they respect our position, and it's been a really exceptional experience for all of us. In fact, we have 6 financial advisors on our team in different states, Ohio, Indiana, Florida, all over, Virginia. And so we're building our team and excited to get more and more people to invest this way.
It is exciting. Can you tell people where they can get your book, Cassie?
Absolutely. If you go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, all you have to do is search for the title. It's the only one. I Found Jesus in the Stock Market, and it should come right up for you. And I would just like to share that all of the profits from the book are going to pregnancy centers that we support, since that's a big piece of, you know, the way that we invest. We wanted to really support other people who are doing God's work. And so we're taking all of the profits and supporting pregnancy centers in our area.
And Cassie, you're also a part of Christian Business Women's Connectors. Can you tell us when the next meeting will be and where it's at?
Sure. On March 16th, we meet every third Wednesday of the month at Applebee's in Newtown. And we have a different topic every month. If you would like to get on that list, you can just email me, Cassandra@beaconwealth.com. We meet for about an hour. We pray together. We study some scripture. We talk about how God is working in our businesses. And we really try to help equip each other to live out our faith in the workplace.
Excellent. And I've been to 2 of those meetings, and they're a lot of fun. But it's also a great time of fellowship and being built up and encouraged and challenged.
Absolutely.
And so I, if you want to find out more about that and also about Beacon Wealth Financial Planning, Cassie, how do they get a hold of you?
So my email is Cassandra@beaconwealth.com. You can go to our website, which is beaconwealth.com, and that really talks about the financial planning aspect of our business. And then for any financial advisors that are out there that might want to learn more, you can go to our website, lightpointportfolios.com. And we have now made it available, our portfolios, to other financial advisors. They might say, this is too hard for me. I can't do it for myself. We say, we'll help you.
That's wonderful.
To do it. So they can go to lightpointportfolios.com.
I would just like to tell everyone, this book is only 115 pages. It's very easy and quick to read, but there's so much there. But you've done a great job of making it very concise and understandable.
Thank you.
Very well done.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for being with us
today.
Thank
you, Cassie.
Oh, it's been my great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you for being with us here on It's a New Day today.